Let's start this evening with praise and worship together. Hallelujah.
Faith on heaven's table land. Oh, higher No matter what has happened in your past, your story is not finalized. Don't quit or give up. God remains faithful and He has the final say. There is a lifting up in God. Now is your time, your turn for your lifting to higher ground, your change of status. Get connected to your God destiny. August 19th to the 21st, 6:30 p.m. daily.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Welcome to this very special meeting. The Lord captioned it properly for us. There is a lifting up to a higher ground. Tonight, tomorrow night, Saturday night, we are going to be digging deep into this experience in God. And I know there is going to be an overflow into Sunday. But I do believe that the God who has brought us to this place, to this time, has an agenda that He is going to complete in my life, in your life, because we cannot remain the same. Whatever is holding us down must let go. You know, I wondered why there was a balloon in that promo. The reality is that balloons are held down, and at a particular point, whatever it is that's anchoring it down, got to go, and it takes off. That was an inspiration of God. The balloon. Tonight, I believe that there is going to be a lift off. God's hand is stretched out to you, and He's lifting you up. And nothing shall be able to keep you down. The agenda of the enemy is brought to naught. There shall be a manifestation of the sons and daughters of the Most High God. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we come to You. We cannot lift ourselves up, but You can. You can cause us to walk on water. You can invite us to step on the cloud and be raised up. You are the God who causes the axe head to float. Lord, tonight, may every man, every woman, every boy, every girl that has come to this forum, come to this platform, come to this place of solemn gathering before You, experience Your outstretched hand, raising them up. For like Peter, who began to sink, who cried out, Lord, and You stretched out Your hand and raised him up. May everyone be lifted up by your Spirit. Do it for our spirits. Do it for our souls. Do it for our bodies. Let there be healing, restoration, deliverance, provision, promotion, and supernatural grace for everyone. Thank you, Lord, for supernatural breakthroughs for all of your sons and your daughters. May our voices rise up with worship and adoration, because God, you have located us and raised us up to higher ground in you. In Jesus Yeshua's name, we decree it so done. And all of God's people together in agreement said, yes and amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. You may be seated as we now receive the man of God tonight. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Welcome to this very special conference. We are truly blessed. We are a people chosen and picked up by God, by His grace, to experience higher ground. We want to welcome you today to the Lifting Up Conference. There is a lifting up. I don't know where you've been, what has happened in your life, but I want you to know there is a lifting up in God, and God is taking you up to a higher ground. It is my privilege and my honor this day to welcome a very dear friend, a man of God. This man is one that God is using to impact lives all around the world. I was so privileged a few years back to minister at his church and was really intrigued with his experience in God. You know, there are people who just are Christians and they don't have a relationship that is deep. But as I chatted with this man of God, oh my, it was iron sharpening iron. Our spirits were ignited with the fire, the flames of God's glory. He passes a great church, Day Spring Ministries in Abuja, Nigeria. A mighty man, an author, married to a great woman of God, Pastor May. And I just want to celebrate him today. Pastor Charles, I just want to celebrate you. You are an awesome man of God, and it's such an honor to have you speak into our lives this morning. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much, Bishop Mike.
Awesome.
It's an honor to be with you, and I must say that I celebrate you.
Oh, praise God. Family. Amen.
Great work you are doing right over there in Canada.
Well, the Lord is gracious and the Lord is doing great things, and we thank Him for His faith.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Before I release you to speak to the people, I just want to ask you a few questions. I know that you are a well-decorated doctor, very well known.
Thank you.
But somehow, you stepped out of that great profession as a doctor, and that's a ministry, that's a powerful ministry, to be a doctor, because I see every profession as a ministry that God has given to us, as a platform, a venue through which He wants us to minister. But you felt called and led to come into the ministry full time. How did that happen?
It's a very interesting story, and I just have to try and make it short. I was born into a Muslim family.
Wow.
And I saw quite a lot of suffering around me. And pain actually moves me. I'm moved when I see people, you know, experiencing pain, agony, particularly, you know, when it has to do with their health. And so I made up my mind I was going to be a doctor. And somehow or another, I found my way into the profession. The story is, as I said, is very interesting, because being born into a Muslim family meant that I was not accepted, you know, immediately I gave my life to the Lord Jesus Christ. Hmm. I was the first person in my family to give my life to the Lord Jesus Christ. I came to the Lord in my first year in the university, and it didn't quite go down well with members of my family. If I recall correctly, I was chased out of the family house. Wow. And I had to sleep in an uncompleted building for 3 days. My mother, as you would expect, cried, you know, and somehow they invited me back, and then they said, I should choose Christ or my education. And I said, if Christ was not going to pay my school fees, I would sit at home, whatever else they would want me to do. So that was how my journey started. I would say it was quite dramatic. Something like within 2 weeks after that experience, my name was published in most Nigerian newspapers. I was awarded a federal government scholarship, which I never applied for.
Oh, you didn't apply for it?
I didn't apply. Up to today, I can't explain how it happened. I can't explain who put my name in there. I've never been to the scholarship office. I don't know what the form looks like, but that was it.
Jesus, it's Lord.
I was given a scholarship, but the news came to my family, and they just had to let me go.
Oh, glory.
Everywhere became quiet. Mm. That was my first miracle encounter with this miracle working God.
Hallelujah.
Of ours. I'm so proud of Jesus. I'm so passionate about Jesus because I've experienced him in a very tangible way, not just like, you know, reading the Bible or something. I've had experiences. Mm. Well, needless to say that I completed my university education, and my fee was paid and everything. You know, I never had to go to the scholarship section of the Ministry of Education. And until I graduated, and my money was coming to the university, there was no interruption whatsoever, you know, and everything just went perfectly well. So I just knew that I had to serve the Lord. And while I was in the university, I was visiting, you know, secondary schools or high schools and some universities around us, and ministering to the students, like in their campus fellowships. I didn't know that the Lord was preparing me for an assignment. After graduation, I took up a job and as a doctor, and somehow I was running a house fellowship, and the house fellowship grew so rapidly. Within 6 months, were more than 300. Wow. I mean, that was crazy. So, and a friend of mine said, why don't you start a church? I said, no, I don't feel the call at all. So I rejected the offer, handed the congregation over to him, and I went back to my medical practice. Anyhow, I became a part-time pastor for, 9 years. Until the Lord said to me, I need for you to relocate from the city where I was to go to Abuja, you know, the capital of the nation, to start a ministry. At first, I was reluctant. It took me 2 years to accept the reality that I was moving. Mm. And then the Lord said to me, you're not going with the hospital, because I had gone to the Lord and I said, how do I move my hospital? Because I was running then a private hospital. And the Lord said to me, no, you're not going to with the hospital. I said, how am I going to take care of my family? He said, well, how did I pay your school fees?
Glory.
As they say, the rest is history.
Amen. Amen. You know, I love these sessions where I get to ask the men of God, you know, their story, how they came, you know, to end up in ministry, and how their story unfolded, and to hear yours, you know, the whole story about the scholarship and your parents, you know, making you to choose Jesus or the education, and you chose the Lord and give you the education. That is awesome. I do hope that after that experience, that they, wowed by what God had done for you, began to, you know, like Nicodemus, come by
now. You would expect that would happen immediately, but it took a while. It took a while because, you know, my dad was a very tough, you know, chief, as you would say, praise God, in our place, and then a man of much influence. And then it took a while, but he came around to it, Amen. Gave his life to Christ. My mom also. And let me say this, I'm proud to say, they are going to be with the Lord now. They all died in the Lord. Amen. And all my siblings, they're all born again.
Amen.
Bible clutching, tongue talking, spirit filled believers.
Mm. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, let me let you go and release the word that the Lord has placed in your heart for us. We are set to hear you as an oracle from the Lord to us this wonderful day that the Lord God Almighty has made. Thank you so very much.
Thank you very much, Bishop.
Yes.
I am actually delighted to have this opportunity to share the word of God with God's people. Thank you, Bishop Mike. And I extend our gratitude to your wife and then the church family. I'm just like he said, I fell in love with this great man of God the very first time I saw him. And I bring you greetings from my wife, Reverend May. She's a pharmacist and an entrepreneur and the vice president of the ministry, doing great work for the Lord. And also our son, who has taken after my footsteps, who is a medical doctor and also an entrepreneur. Once again, thank you, Bishop Mike, for making it possible for me to come on this platform and minister to God's people. I'm going to be sharing something with us today that I believe is consistent with the theme of the conference. You know, there's a lifting. There's a lifting. I'm going to come from a perspective that I believe the Lord is nudging my heart to preach and teach his children around the world. Hallelujah. Before I tell you the title of my message, I want you to turn with me to the Bible. Let's read the word of God. Galatians chapter 4, 4 to 7. Galatians chapter 4, 4 to 7. I read, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that they might receive the adoption of sons. Please, I would like for you to take note of that. And because you are sons, look at the number of times the word sons is coming in this short passage of scripture. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the spirit of his son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore, thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir. Oh, Jesus, I'm getting all worked up already. Then an heir of God through Christ. Now, this is one of the most fascinating scriptures in the entire Bible. And let me shoot straight. I'm so eager to preach, but can we just bow our heads and have a word of prayer? Almighty and eternal Father, I thank you for this privilege. I thank you for this opportunity. I believe there are hearts that you have prepared, Father, to connect to your words today. Father in heaven, these hearts you have made fertile. Plant the seed of your word. Let it germinate. Water it, Lord, by your spirit, in the name of Jesus Christ. Even as you give me utterance to speak as your oracle, speak through me, Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus. Let your voice be heard and not mine. And please, Lord, take all the glory for everything you are going to do in this segment, in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. The title of this message is Sons and Not Slaves. Oh, sons and not slaves. We're going to be looking at manifesting your sonship as a child of God. Glory to God. The passage we've just read, as I said, is one of the most fascinating scriptures in the entire Bible. Hallelujah. You see, redemption does not make you a servant. It doesn't make you a slave. Rather, redemption makes you a son of God. This is so powerful. This is so powerful. If you are saved, you are a son and not a slave. Glory to God. I'm so excited that I'm a son. I'm a son of God. This is the first thing, you know, you need to know if you are going to have a lifting. You have to be familiar with the fact, you know, of your position in Christ, what you are, who you are, what he has made you, who he has made you in Christ. You know, ignorance of this particular revelation, you know, has resulted in many Christians living far below standard and being oppressed by the devil. They are wandering through life and not being able to really make the kind of impact that God has designed for us to make. Glory to God. They don't find fulfillment, you know, in life because they are ignorant of who they are in Christ. Let's turn to Psalm 82 and verses 5 through to 7. Psalm 82, 5 through to 7. The Bible says, they know not, neither do they understand. They walk on in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are out of course. I have said, ye are gods, and all of you are children of the Most High, but you shall die like me, like men, and fall like one of the princes. This is pathetic. This is tragic. This is, you don't want to be there. Everything else falls into place when you can answer the question of identity. It's so critical. It's very important. Now, if I were to ask you right now, who are you? You're likely to say to me, I'm a preacher. I'm a doctor. I'm a teacher. You know, but that's what you do. That's not who you are. That is what you do. Who you are is different. You know, this same question was posed before John the Baptist. They asked him, who are you? He said, I'm not the Messiah. I'm a foreigner. I'm the voice of the one crying in the wilderness, make straight the path of the Lord. Jesus faced the same question. You know, the devil had to confront him and asked him, you know, are you the son of God? You will recall that the first temptation that the enemy gave to Jesus was about his identity. He asked him, are you the son of God? If you are really the son of God, you turn this stone to bread. You are hungry now, isn't it? I mean, just demonstrate your sonship by turning the stone to bread. And of course, we know the answer that Jesus gave to him. You know, the religious leaders of the day, you know, they also pressed on Jesus and they wanted to know who he was. And his answer was, I came from my Father. They got very angry because they understood what Jesus was trying to say. He meant that he was God's son. And the people said, how can this man, you know, claim to be God's son? Because nobody had made that claim. And they were really very angry. You see, once you are able to answer the question, you know, of identity, that question of who you really are, I'm not talking of your background. I'm not talking about who you are, you know, in your village. No. I'm not talking about your profession. I'm talking about your position in Christ, getting to realize who you are in Christ. You know, the Samaritan woman met Jesus, and she discerned that was something different, something, you know, about Jesus. So she talked, you know, of the Messiah being expected when Jesus began to explain to her about the Messiah. And then Jesus said to her, I am he. Wow. She was mesmerized. I mean, she immediately understood everything else. Once you know who Jesus is, being the Son of God, everything else falls into place. Until you understand who you are, you will not know why you are here, and you will not know what you can achieve. You will not know what you can do. Now, if your phone could talk, and you ask your phone, what are you? Your phone will not say, well, I make calls and I receive calls. No, your phone will say to you, I'm a smartphone. And immediately you get to know that. You know all the things that the phone can do. Glory to God. The other advantage of knowing who you are is that you will know what you are not and who you are not. John the Baptist knew he was not the Messiah. He knew he was the forerunner of the Messiah. You see, there are three things that you must be familiar with: vision, identity, and purpose. Extremely important. They are tied together and they work together. Identity is important for the fulfillment of purpose. It's important for the fulfillment of vision. You see, vision gives you a glimpse of where God has planned to take you. Glory to God. But vision sees the potential of purpose. But purpose describes why you are here. Purpose is your right to occupy space on planet Earth. Can I say that again? Purpose is your right to occupy space on planet Earth and draw resources from it. So when you fail to fulfill purpose, hallelujah, your legitimacy is called to question. So you need to understand purpose. So purpose explains why you are gifted. Purpose explains why you have what you have. It explains your unique capabilities. It is the fulfillment of purpose that makes you relevant in the kingdom of God and in the world. It's very important. You see, a failed purpose is a failed life. If I don't understand vision, I accomplish very little with my purpose. But if I don't understand who I am, everything else falls apart because my purpose and my vision are wrapped up in my identity. They are wrapped up on who I am. If you are going to have a lifting, you have to elevate your thinking from the level of thinking that you are just a Christian. Know that what you have been made is the son of God, a son of the Most High God. You have a right of inheritance. You have been brought in, grafted in, hallelujah. And the Lord is so proud to call you his own son. Glory to God. Glory to God. Until you know who you are, you will not know what you are capable of doing. So my job today is to draw your attention, hallelujah, to something that we most often ignore: our sonship and our citizenship of the kingdom of God. Three things happen when you got saved. Number one, you became a son of God. The Bible says, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believed on his name. John chapter 1, verse 12. The second thing that happened when you gave your life to Christ, you became a citizen of the kingdom of God. You cannot maximize your sonship until you understand your kingdom citizenship. Hallelujah. You are a citizen of the kingdom of God. You were translated into the kingdom of God's son the day you had an encounter and gave your life to Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. You were translated. According to Colossians chapter 1, verse 13, the Bible says our citizenship is in heaven. Philippians chapter 3, verse 20. Glory to God. I need for somebody to shout right now, hallelujah. I'm a son of God, and I'm a citizen of the kingdom of God. And I rejoice greatly for this great privilege in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. The third thing you need to be familiar with is that you became a prince, posted to reign in life as a king. Wow, this is awesome. Posted to reign in life, you know? And once there is a kingdom, there must be a king. And if there is a king, there is a kingdom. As a matter of fact, a kingdom is the domain of a king. Hallelujah. That means there is a king and he is your father. This king we're talking about is the Lord God Almighty, the immortal, the invisible, the only potentate, the only wise God, who alone has immortality and dwelleth in the light unapproachable, who no man has seen or can see. Hallelujah. The maker of all things, the possessor of heaven and earth, the great God Jehovah, the El Shaddai, the great I am that I am. He is the King of kings and is my Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm getting all excited because, you know, God is my father. Listen to me. Many people can view him as a judge. They can view him as God. They can view him as whatever it is. But he is my daddy. I have a son. He has a free pass to my place. He enters my room, comes into anywhere I am at any time. He has complete and full access. Glory to God, because he's my son. Access that children of his age can never have because of that connection. That relationship is so powerful. It's unbelievable. Hallelujah. The Bible says that you are that means that you and I are royalty. You are a king. The Bible says that you are a royal priesthood, a chosen generation. Hallelujah. A chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, and a peculiar people. That is why Jesus is referred to as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The kingdom of God is so peculiar that in the kingdom, it's not just a kingdom of citizens. Every citizen is a king. This is wonderful. Hallelujah. And you know what the Bible says? That where the word of a king is, there is power. Where the word of the king is, there is authority. Hallelujah. Time has come to rise. God is calling us to a higher dimension of operation in the name of Jesus Christ. It is time. It is time. It is time. You see, because we need to do the kind of exploits that God had in mind. Hallelujah. Jesus is the King of Kings, and we are kings as well. No matter where you live on earth, no matter who you are, no matter the people that surround you, listen to me, you are a citizen of heaven sent to govern the earth on behalf of God. It's a kingdom where God has graciously delegated authority and power to us to reign, to rule, to have dominion on planet Earth. I mean, tell me, what can be higher than that? Hallelujah. Welcome to your season of dominion in the name of Jesus Christ. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. God is the Father of sons. He is the Father of sons. Jesus taught us to pray, "Our Father who art in heaven." If he's not your father, you can't refer to him as your father. I mean, you cannot relate to him as a son. I'm delighted that I'm the son of God. Glory to God. Now, something else I want you to know, I want you to always remember, is that you are more than a believer. Hallelujah. The first thing we looked at is that you are not a slave. You are not a servant. The second thing you need to know is that redemption does not make you a believer. Oh God, I hope I'm not going to run into trouble right here. Redemption does not make you a believer. As a matter of fact, you believed unto salvation. You believed, you confessed unto salvation. And after you are now born again and you are saved, and you are redeemed, you don't remain a believer, you become a son. Hallelujah. That's what God has made you. Glory to God. Can I repeat that? Redemption does not make you a believer, it made you a son. Many are stuck at the level of being called believers. This is so damaging. This is so damaging because you see, it reduces from our power, from our authority, from our place of dominion, because we don't understand that we are the sons of God in possession of full dominion and authority. Glory to God. Glory to God. Listen to me. We're not saved to be believers, but sons. Hallelujah. You see, the devil doesn't feel threatened by believers. Mm-mm. He is threatened. He is nervous. He is a wreck. Let me tell you something. The devil is terrified when he meets a son. Hallelujah. When he sees Jesus, he was terrified. The devil is terrified of sons. Why? He remembered that God said the seed of the woman was going to bruise his head and destroy him. So he wanted to know, when he had an encounter with Jesus, he wanted to know, are you the son of God? He wanted to ID the son of God. Because if he could confirm that, then he could launch an all-out attack. But of course he did, and he failed. Hallelujah. 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 Listen to me. The Bible is so emphatic as to what salvation has made us. It states in 1 John chapter 3, verse 2. He says, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it does not yet appear that we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." Glory to God. See, you may not look like it right now, but you are a son of God. You may not even appear to be like it, but you are the son of God. Hallelujah. You may not be manifesting your sonship right now, but you are the son of God. I'm so excited to bring this message to you. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Salvation does not make you a believer. Salvation makes you a son of God. We are saved unto sonship. As a matter of fact, you are saved because you believe. Now, let's look at the Bible a little more closely. In Acts chapter 5 and verse 14, it says, "Believers were added unto the Lord." Did you hear that? Believers were added. Only those who believed got added unto the Lord. They became sons when they were added, according to the Bible. So the believer, hallelujah, they believed, so they were added, not as believers, but as sons. In Acts chapter 4 and verse 14, it says, "Believers were added unto the Lord." Only those who believed, you know, were added unto the Lord. They became sons when they were added, according to the Bible. They believed, so they were added. Glory to God. So the term believer, as I was saying, is very confusing to many people. It's the Greek word pistio, and which means to have faith in, which means to have faith upon, which means, or you know, or with respect to a person or a thing. In other words, by implication, to entrust one's spiritual well-being to Christ. It describes a process, not a position. Glory to God. It occurs only twice. The word believer occurs only twice in the entire New Testament. Glory to God. It occurs in the plural form. First, in Acts chapter 5, verse 14, which we just read. And secondly, in the book of Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 12. And it means trustworthy. It means trustful. It means faithful. It also means follower. Glory to God. So, but a deeper sense of what we become is sons. This is what the Bible says. You know, let me show you something. The phrase of son of God, the phrase son of God, occurs 45 times in the New Testament. So that means God wanted you to know that you are a son and not just, you know, a believer or anything like that. Hallelujah. 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 He wants you to know that you are not just trustworthy, that you have put your trust in him and that he in turn, you know, has accepted you as a trustworthy person. But beyond that, he wants you to realize that you are a son. Glory to God. God wants you to know that you are more than a follower. As a matter of fact, the word believer is found in the New Testament, you know, only in the plural form, as I said earlier. Glory to God. But guess what? The word son occurred 422 times in 335 verses of the Bible. So what is the emphasis? Sonship. Sonship. God wanted us to keep remembering. That's why he keeps talking about son, 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 son. We have been running around, you know, referring to ourselves, you know, as believers with no power, with no authority, with little to show for it. But bless the name of the Lord. The time for the manifestation of sons of God is here. There is a shift in the atmosphere. There is a shift in the heavenly realm, a new dimension is being launched right now, and a new set of believers, a new set of sons of God are coming into the scene to shake the earth, to shake things up for the kingdom of God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You see, the purpose of redemption has always been to elevate us to the status of sons, the sons of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Verse 5 of the scripture reading that we took this morning says, we received the adoption of sons when we were redeemed. The sixth verse says, and because you are sons, God has set forth his own spirit, the spirit of his son, into your heart, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore, thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Not a servant. Did you hear that? But a son and an heir. This is amazing. Absolutely amazing. The Lord Jesus Christ taught us to pray to God and to relate with him as our father. He's our father and we're his children. And we're to relate with God, not only as our father, not as a judge, not as a helper, but as our father. Let me show you something. A helper may not have a relationship with a helper. All right? It doesn't have to be your father. A teacher may not necessarily be your father. A prophet may not necessarily be your father. But a father is a father. There's a definite relationship that ties you in origin and in everything, in that intimate relationship, you know, to the person. So you see, when the Bible says that we are sons of God, redeemed to be sons, God wanted to emphasize the fact that we don't only come out from him, but that he wants that intimate relationship that he does not have with any created being, not even angels. Why? Because we belong to him. Hallelujah. See, you may not have a relationship with a judge, but you may not have a relationship with a boss. Are you listening to me? But the father-son relationship is a special one, and it is very important. Now, why is this important? We need to figure that out. Romans chapter 8, verse 19. The Bible says, for the earnest expectation of the creature waited for the manifestation of the sons of God. The world is not waiting for the manifestation of believers. The world is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. Creation is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Creation is not waiting for the manifestation of churchgoers. It's not waiting for the manifestation of servants. The creation is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. There is a shift in the spirit. I can feel it. I can discern it. There is such an anointing right now. The era of sons is about to begin. This is the reason why this message is so important. You have to realize that you are more than a believer, more than a slave, more than a follower of Christ, more than a trustworthy person. You are a son of God. Glory to God. You see, the purpose of this message is to commission sons into their assignments so that they can begin to manifest. As I stretch forth my hand towards you right now, I commission you into your sonship. I commission you into that office. I commission you into that glorious relationship that you are going to begin to manifest. A fresh glory is coming upon you. A fresh anointing is coming upon you. And you will see and experience and enjoy the glory of God in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I wanted to write down the following things. Number one, sons are the ones who look like God, think like God, act like God. Glory to God. My son looks like me. I am his father. As a matter of fact, you don't need to conduct a paternity test to be able to know that, he's my son. He looks like me. Hallelujah. And I'm so proud of that. Glory to God. He has also taken some of my qualities. Amen. Well, he's better than me. He's a genius. Praise God. Thank God for that. Number two, write this down. Sons are the ones who are ordained to change the world. The Bible says that entire creation is waiting earnestly for the manifestation of the sons of God. We are the ones who are ordained to change the world. Let me tell you, God will begin to give you solutions now to the problems of your community. God will begin to give you answers to the problems of the nation, to the economic problem, to the medical problems, to the financial difficulties and the challenges that our people are facing in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. I believe that God is about to take out COVID out of the planet Earth, and believers are going to be instrumental through our prayer, through our relationship with God, through our intercession. God is going to begin to do some very great things through us because we are sons of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Number three, when sons show up, light comes on. Jesus said, you are the light of the world. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 14. Sons command wisdom. When you talk about light, you are talking about wisdom. You are talking about the wisdom that comes from above, which is above all, which illuminates darkness in dark places. And people begin to have clarity. Let me tell you something. The discernment of color is because of the presence of light. When you are in darkness, there is no glory. There is no beauty whatsoever. And we are ordained to bring light, to bring clarity to the lives of people, to bring dignity and honor, to bring shine and color onto the life of the people. And this is our job. That is why you need to know who you are as a son of God. Glory to God. You see, you are to manifest the astonishing wisdom of God in your job, in your place of work, in your business, in your ministry, etc. You have to manifest the glory of, the wisdom of God. Amen. When sons show up, solutions begin to manifest. Solutions show up. The fourth thing I want you to write down is this. When sons show up, life shows up. Healing shows up. Restoration shows up. Sons have mastery over every affliction of the enemy. I mean, just what Jesus had, the way he commanded leprosy and they disappeared. He had mastery over death. He had mastery over all kinds of diseases, even blindness. He had mastery. Jesus had mastery over fever. He had mastery over cancer, tumors, whatever, bleeding disorders. He had mastery. And we ought to realize, just like the Bible says, as he is, so are we in this world. Who is Jesus? Not a believer. He's a son. Glory to God. And he said, he that believeth on me, the word that I do shall he do, and greater works than this shall he do. Believe what? That is a believer? No. Believe that I have made him a son. Glory to God. As many as believed him, he gave them the power to become sons. Hallelujah. And sons are the ones ordained to change the world. Number five, the fifth thing that you need to know, when sons show up, power shows up. Sons command power. Sons command power. Hallelujah. So I'm commissioning you today, hallelujah, to do miracles, to do signs, to do wonders. Hallelujah. Get ready for a new realm of the display of the power of God, of the glory of God upon your life, in your business, in your ministry, in everything that you do, in the mighty name of Jesus. The sixth thing I want you to write down is that sons command attention. Sons command respect. Sons are the ones ordained to shine. Philippians chapter 2, verse 15. Listen, glory is returning to your life. Color is returning to your life. Dignity is returning to your life in the mighty name of Jesus. Honor is returning to your life by the things that God will begin to display in the mighty name of Jesus. Wealth is coming to you in the name of Jesus Christ. And that's my point, the seventh point. And the last one, it says, sons command the resources of heaven and earth. Sons command resources. Listen to me. Poverty will exit your life when you know your identity as a son of God. Glory to God. Sons command resources. Sons have the right of inheritance. When the sons of God show up, when the sons of God show up, God shows up. Wealth shows up. Wisdom shows up. Glory to God. We are to manifest the nature, the character, and the culture of heaven right here on earth. I don't want to be known as a man of God. Please, I don't want to be known as a man of God. I want to be called a son of God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I want to be known as a man of God. You see, Moses represents the old, and the Bible referred to him as man of God. He was known as a man of God. Deuteronomy chapter 33, verse 1. Joshua chapter 14, verse 6. The Bible tells us that, you know, referred to Moses as the man of God. The phrase man of God occurs 73 times in the Bible. 71 times are in the Old Testament out of 73. You see God's emphasis. 71 times out of 73 in the Old Testament, and, you know, twice in the New Testament. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Jesus, on the other hand, represents the new. Let's see what the Bible says. The Bible refers to Jesus as the Son of God. Mark chapter 1, verse 1. The Bible says the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. John chapter 1, verse 1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was his God, and the Word was God, Son of God. We beheld his glory as of the only begotten Son of God. So Jesus represents the new in the Old Testament, while Moses represented the old in the Old Testament. Glory to God. So the phrase Son of God occurs 46 times in the Bible, and all of it except one of them is in the Old Testament. And guess what? Even the one in the Old Testament was a reference to Jesus, the fourth man in the furnace of fire. And the kingdom of God said, I see a fourth man like the Son of God. So you see what the Bible is talking about. Daniel chapter 3 and verse 25. Glory to God. So you can see that the focus of redemption is the adoption of sons as against those who lived under the law. Glory to God. Beloved, we are in a glorious dispensation right now, the dispensation of the sons of God. God's original intent for man was for man to be his son and not his servant. That was the reason the Bible referred to Adam as the Son of God. Can you believe that? that even the first man who missed it was referred to as the Son of God until he committed high treason, and then God had to put him aside. Glory to God. This was the picture of Adam before the fall, Son of God. You can see that, of course, in Luke chapter 3 and verse 38. Jesus came to restore us to that position of glory, that position of sonship where we can manifest, you know, finally on earth. You see, Jesus came to model for us what sons should look like and what they can achieve, what they can do, hallelujah, how they can impact their generation. And that is our example. Let me quickly say something about the voice of sons. The voice of sons, very powerful. There is something uncommon about the voice of sons. Sons carry power in their mouth. Glory to God. Hallelujah. They speak anointed words. They speak with authority. When a true believer, when the true Son of God speaks, even the dead hears, you know, hears, and then they come alive. Listen to the scripture. Glory to God. John chapter 5, verse 25. He says, verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. There is something special about the voice of the Son of God, of sons of God. Jesus spoke to Lazarus, who was dead for 4 days, and the Bible says he came back to life. Glory to God. He did on several occasions, you know, on several other occasions, raise the dead. This is Jesus, and people are doing the same today. God has used me twice in my life to raise dead people. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I can't take credit for it, but because he has made me a son and because he has promised and given me the power, I'm in a position to demonstrate that power, that glory, and things happen. Glory to God. Glory to God. See, sons have the ability to speak to dead marriages, dead businesses, dead organs in the body. Are you listening to me? And they come alive. Sons speak to dead ministries. They speak to dead visions, and they climb. Glory to God. Sons carry life in their mouth. They carry life in their mouth. Glory to God. Sons release life into anything they bless. They release life. I release life into that sick body of yours right now in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. I command that sickness to disappear. I speak in my position as a son of God, and I command that thing to go in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Listen to me. You are not supposed to be a slave to that disease, to that sickness, to that affliction. I terminate it right now by the power that is vested upon me as a son of God and as one that he has called, anointed, ordained to preach his word in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Listen to me. Sons don't plead or beg for things to happen. They command things to happen. Sons pack power in their mouth. Listen to what Jesus said. In Mark chapter 3, so chapter 11, verse 23, what did Jesus say? What did he say? Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, we are not to describe the mountain, we are not to plead before the mountain, we are to move mountains by speaking to the mountain. Let me tell you something. That disease can hear you. That organ in your body can hear you. That wicked boss of yours in your office can hear you. Speak the word of God. Are you listening to me? Your bank account can hear you. That death burden in your life can hear you. Speak to it, command it, give it instruction, tell it what to do, and you will see things moving in your favor in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ. See, there's a level of audacity in the language of sons that makes, carnal people angry. When we speak with confidence, I mean, when Jesus used to talk, you know, in those days, I mean, the religious people, they were angry. He said, this man, I mean, he's talking with so much boldness. Where did he learn this thing from? But when sons show up, listen to me, there's a level of audacity that is crazy. I can't explain it, but it's just crazy. Glory to God. Hallelujah. They were infuriated. Hallelujah. The Bible says they were astonished at his doctrine. For his word was with power. This is Jesus we're talking about. Luke chapter 4 and verse 32. It was strange to them. Glory to God. You know something? My level of command has increased since I learned of my position as a son of God. Hallelujah. My level of command has increased tremendously. I command cancer to leave and they don't struggle. I command demons to leave. They don't struggle with me. They go. I remember one experience, you know, a sister ran after me after 7 hours rushing to my office, and then she was crying. Somebody behind her was crying. I said, "What's wrong with you?" He said, "My sister." "What about your sister?" "Cancer." I said, "What's cancer?" I spoke to her. I didn't pray for her. I didn't lay hands on her. I just looked into her eyes, and I said to her, "You're healed. Go to the hospital tomorrow. Let them have you checked over. They will not find the cancer." I was speaking under the anointing, under the influence of the Holy Spirit. Because don't forget that because I'm his son, he has sent forth his spirit into my life that I may be able to manifest the essence of divinity right here on planet Earth. That's what it means. That's what it takes to be, you know, a son of God. Let me share a personal testimony with you. There was a time the doctor said to me, "Your kidneys are, you know, they are misbehaving. I think we are seeing evidence of second degree, you know, kidney failure." I said, "Who are you talking about? Me? Second degree what? Kidney failure. I know who I am. I'm a son of God." And I spoke to my kidneys. I said, "Access denied. Permission not granted." I spoke to my kidneys. I said, "I command you in the name of Jesus to work. I cannot carry about, you know, defective kidneys. No. I'm a son of God." Guess what? It disappeared in less than 48 hours. Till today that I'm talking to you, everything is perfect. And the doctor said, "We've never seen it like this." I said, "Yes. When sons show up, power shows up." Glory to God. See, sons speak with confidence. They speak with faith. Hallelujah. They speak faith and they speak with faith. Sons speak life. Sons repeat what God is saying, not what the devil is saying. Glory to God. Sons speak the word of God. They are oracles of the living God because of the Spirit of God that dwells inside of them. Glory to God. They are prophetic. They are didactic. They are moral. They are edifying. Hallelujah. And they are inspiring. They speak such inspiring words. The language of sons is pure. It is holy. It is full of grace. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 29, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers." They don't run people down. They don't gossip. They don't engage in small talk. But let me tell you something. When the Son of God opens his mouth to speak under the influence of the Holy Spirit, the kingdom of darkness is terrified. The hell shakes when a true Son of God begins to manifest. Glory to God. Sons don't murmur. They don't complain. No. They give thanks all the time. Heaven opens for sons. God's all is reserved for sons. Sons are the ones who enjoy the privilege of joint heirs. Did you hear that? The Bible says that we are joint heirs. They are the ones who have a right of inheritance, as I said earlier. The Bible says, listen to what Jesus said. He said, "Fear not, little children, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." This is what Jesus said. This is the Son of God talking. Hallelujah. The man who ought to know. He said, "I came down from heaven. I know what it looks like. And I know what this thing is all about." And then he said, "Don't be afraid, little flock. It is your Father's pleasure." Did you hear that? God's pleasure to give you that car. It is God's pleasure to give you that house, the house of your dream. It is your Father's pleasure to wipe off your debt. It is your Father's pleasure to heal your body. It is your Father's pleasure to give you the kingdom. "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." There is no sickness in heaven. There is no disease in heaven. There are no debts in heaven. There are no, credit card loans, debts in heaven. No. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the good things. Glory to God. If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat of the good of the land. You will not only eat of the good of the land, you are going to wear the good of the land like I'm looking today. You are going to drive the good of the land. You are going to live in the good of the land. That means you are entitled to a very wonderful house. Right here on planet Earth. Rise to take your place as a son and not a slave, in the mighty name of Jesus. Listen to me. The kingdom of God is yours. Go for it. Hallelujah. Listen to me. The inheritance of sons is illustrated in the relationship between Elisha and Elijah. You know, other sons of the prophets actually viewed Elijah as their master, but only Elisha referred to Elijah as father. When he was being translated, the Bible says that he shouted, "My father, my father." And when he did that, recognizing him and the fatherhood of Elijah over his life, the mantle dropped. He was the only one who received the mantle. Hallelujah. And until you recognize your position and accept that position as a son of God, you may just not have the mantle, but I see the mantle dropping upon you right now in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. I mean, wear it with boldness. Carry it everywhere you go. You are anointed. You are ordained to create change on planet Earth. Begin to show forth. Listen to me. Don't be apologetic about your position in Christ. Speak boldly to things, and as you begin to get results, people around you begin to ask questions. What has happened to you? You just say to them, there's a lifting up. Hallelujah. There's a lifting up. I got uplifted when I got to understand that I am a son of God, not just a believer, not just anything. Praise the Lord. Let me close with this. I'd like to close with this. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Sons are ready to make whatever sacrifice is necessary for the propagation of the gospel, leading to the expansion of the kingdom of God. Did you hear that? Sons are sacrificial. You can see in the life of Jesus Christ, he was very sacrificial. I mean, what greater sacrifice can anyone make than to sacrifice his own life for his own friends? Glory to God. Sons are not afraid to make sacrifices. Jesus went to the cross to give his life for your salvation. Are you ready to give your money for the expansion of the kingdom that Jesus came to establish? Hallelujah. Salvation of mankind was procured through sacrifice. He gave his life to save us, to save you. Will you give your money? Will you give your money so that the gospel can be preached? Glory to God. The Bible says in Psalm 50, verse 5, gather my sins together unto me, those that have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. Gather my sins together unto me, those who have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. This is the word of God. Covenant relationship with God is established and maintained on the platform of sacrifice. Affliction is terminated with sacrifice. Poverty is terminated with sacrifice. You know what the Bible says? Jesus talking, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall to the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. John chapter 12, verse 24. It takes your seed to meet your need. Harvest, according to Mike Murdock, never follows need. Harvest follows seed. You need to understand that. Glory to God. You need to understand, you know, the prophetic dimension and power of sacrifice. You need to understand that. Glory to God. You need to understand. You see, you can predict your future or determine your future by the sacrifices you are ready to make today. The future you create is determined by the seeds you are willing to sow right now. Glory to God. You can change your seasons with sacrifice. You can avert disaster with sacrifice. Sacrifice attracts amazing divine rewards. Hallelujah. I commend you to the word of the Lord. I commend you to the Spirit of God. I commend you to the power of your position right now. There's a lifting in your life right now, in your finances, in your family. I speak to that family that is struggling, that is having all kinds of challenges. I speak to that family that is on the verge of divorce. You are not going to divorce. I rebuke that spirit, that wicked spirit that wants to tear you apart. Let love take over in the name of Jesus Christ. Affection is coming, it's returning. Genuine divine love is taking over right now in the name of Jesus Christ. There's a child that have been diagnosed to have a particular problem. There's a healing coming to you right now. But before I go into all of that, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I don't know if I can if I can ask you to make a sacrifice right now and support the ministry of your son, of God's son, you know, Bishop Mike Zeno. I want to ask you. I don't know what challenges you're facing, but you can destroy that challenge with a sacrifice. Hallelujah. A substantial seed. You see, the woman, the widow of Zarephath, was facing extinction, extermination of her life and the life of her kid when the prophet Elijah showed up and said, give me something to drink. And as she was going to fetch a cup of water, he called unto her and said, come over, can I have some food? And the woman said, all I have is just one meal, and I've gone to gather some 2 sticks to cook it, and I and my son will live, and after that, we'll wait for death. And the prophet began to prophesy. That seed was a sacrifice. It was a significant seed. It was not a tip unto God. It was a significant seed. And she planted that seed, and the prophetic word came from the realm of glory, changing her life and her finances. And she lived until the siege was over, the hunger, the famine period was over. And I believe God sustained them for a very long time. Just that one seed. Glory to God. Let me tell you something, how a seed preserved my life. This is my personal testimony, You know, in the year 2011, it was my birthday, and I was led by the Lord to sow a seed of about $200,000. And I did that. I didn't know why I was sowing that seed of $200,000. I just cleared my account completely, and I planted that seed where the Lord directed me to plant the seed. That same year, few months after my birthday, I traveled abroad and I had a stroke. You won't believe that. Before then, I wasn't checking my blood pressure. I didn't really care about anything like that. But guess what? The Lord reminded me that, yes, I made you to sow that seed because I saw what was coming. And I said to the Lord, I'm placing the demand for my healing upon my sacrifice. That's a powerful revelation. It's something we can preach upon for another day. Placed my demand for my healing upon my sacrifice. And the moment I said that, I knew something had happened. You remember before I tell you what happened, you remember the widow or the woman, not a widow, the woman, that built a guest house for the prophet Elisha and made the man comfortable every time he came around. Hallelujah. Didn't just give her a room to stay, but a guest house furnished for her and a bed where the man could stay. When her son that came by prophetic declaration as a reward for her commitment to taking care of the man of God, that son died. You know what she did? She took that child and placed him on the bed that her money made. That was her sacrifice, but now she was placing the demand for the life of her son upon that sacrifice. And God said to me, when I saw that, I was obligated to return that child. And that child came back alive. I went to minister somewhere, and a man whose entire body was riddled with cancer, stage 4, And he was to be flown abroad for treatment, but they knew it was just an exercise in futility. And the pastor said to me, can you please stop over? I was on my way to the airport and pray for this dear man of God, for this dear man, this member of our church. I said, and he said to me, this man single-handedly contributed 80% of what we used in building this our magnificent church. 80%. Please pray for him. And the Lord reminded me of placing the demand, your demand, upon your sacrifice. And I said, and I started to pray. And I said, Lord, I place the demand for the healing of this man upon his sacrifice that has come up to you. And my eyes were shut. As I was still talking, he rolled over and, you know, fell under the power of the Holy Spirit, shivered a little bit. And by the time he got up, all the pain was gone. The tumor was gone. I mean, the lumps disappeared. I still said to him, go to the cancer center in the UK where you were going to, you know, go for checkup. But there's something they will see. They will not see the cancer again. When he got there, they were asking him, where is the man that has all these x-rays, this MRI, this, you know, all of these scan results, these test results, and this results. He said, he's the one. He said, no. The man that has this result had to be very, very sick. But you don't look like it. There's nothing wrong with you. We have checked you over, and there's absolutely nothing wrong with you. And then they said, what happened? He said, a pastor prayed for me. A son of God prayed for him. We placed his demand upon his sacrifice. I'm calling on you right now to make a sacrifice. Place your demand. Maybe they are about to repossess your house. Make a sacrifice right now. Write that check. Send it to the ministry. The address will be shown to you. The bank account will be shown to you on the screen. Send it, and you are going to see the glory of God come upon you. Can I complete my story? In 7 hours, I regained the use of the left side of my body, which was paralyzed, and the doctor said, you don't need to be here. Get out. We've never seen it like this before. Of course, they've never seen it like that before. When miracles are at work, when God is at work, miracles take place. And miracles cannot be explained. They can only be enjoyed. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Can I pray for you right now? As I bring you before the Lord, sow that seed, write that check. Make that sacrifice. Listen to me. Somebody is thinking, oh, $100,000 is too much. How much can you pay for your life? What can you pay for your life? $100,000? What is $100,000? The Bible says, what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and he loses his own soul? $10,000. What is it? $5,000. Can't God give you more? Listen to me, except a corn of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it abides it alone. When it appears, we are being buried. We are actually being planted because you are going to rise again. That seed is going to germinate. This is how I survive. This is how I live. I can't tell you how many times I've had to close my account to sow a seed, to make a sacrifice upon projects and everything. And I can stand here and testify to the glory of God that I lack nothing. I'm comfortable, and I give praise unto the Lord. Not because I'm a bishop or a pastor, no. Because there are pastors who are struggling, but because of the revelation of the Word of God that I practice on a regular basis. God bless you.
What a powerful word. What a powerful word. What a powerful word.
Good.
All creation. It's waiting for the manifestation of sons, not believers, sons. People who understand.
Not believers, sons.
Yes, they have been birthed by God. That is incredible. And I believe that God wants to do that for every one of us today. And I just want to say thank you for bringing us to this place of revelation, this absolute truth, this knowing that we are not ordinary,
Hallelujah. He
came out of God, created in his image right. and likeness, that God birthed us and that we are sons and that we carry his character. We carry his personality. We carry his personhood. And that we are able to impact right. our world supernaturally. Oh, that's a powerful word. Because that's a place of no limitation. No limits.
That's right. That's right.
No limits. No limits. Father, we no are limit. Thankful.
No limit.
We are thankful.
No limits.
We receive it. We receive it in Jesus' mighty name.
Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Lariendos comprada shinde rebosa. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Yes. Kalabo shata.
Yes, Lord.
Takatabaya. Bishop, can I give you a word? Give you a word. Shatabosa. I see someone booked for surgery and it's supposed to take place this Thursday. If the person is going to be bold enough to receive this word, that surgery will become absolutely unnecessary. Because I see God stretching forth his hand right now to confirm this word that we have just heard today, by healing that person and removing that tumor, and that surgery will no longer be necessary.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. I release that word now. I release that power, and I command it to be done in Jesus' name. That sickness, you are a mountain, move in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Done. Praise the Lord.
Shata bata.
Oh, glory.
Pradu sata talalalaba. Sukati abarukasi. Oh, santititi libra da 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 da. Oh, sharabaya. It's done. Done.
Hallelujah.
In the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
It's done.
Praise the Lord.
Jesus.
Thank you, man of God. I was waiting for that prophetic declaration.
Thank you, Bishop.
This morning around 4:30.
Thank you. Morning, thank you.
The Lord said, Jesus, you are going to bring forth a prophetic word at the end. And if I don't hear it, to ask you.
Hallelujah.
Because it is in you to bring to us. We'll receive that prophetic declaration.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Praise you, Father. Father, I thank you for your son.
Thank you, Jesus.
Your chosen vessel.
Ooh.
He brought to us your word.
Jesus.
And reminded us once again that we are called to be sons. Not just to be believers.
Yes, right.
Sons.
Yes.
Oh, we give you praise. Believers can unbelieve, but sons cannot be unsunned. Oh, Father, we give
sons cannot be unsunned. Oh, Jesus, thank
you. Thank you, Lord. Forever sons of the Most High God.
Thank you, Jesus.
Blessed be your holy name.
Jesus.
Amen and amen. Man of God, thank you so very much. I want to remind everyone about the word about the sacrifice. Your seed is the solution to your need. Don't forget that and be swift.
Place your demand.
Obey the directives of the Lord. Hear God. Behold him. Man of God, I'm going to let you be, and I'm going to continue with
thank you
the saints, And we look forward to hearing you again tomorrow night as you bring the word of the Lord to us. But for right now, I'll let you be, and I thank God for you, and I celebrate the greatness of God in you that is just flowing forth powerfully.
Thank you.
Receive your ministry.
Thank you.
And I look forward to sharing with you again.
Thank you for giving me this platform opportunity.
Thank you, sir. Bless you. Love you. Good day. Wow. God is good to us. All this year, we have been graced by the giftings of God in His sons all around this globe. As I sat down listening to the man of God tonight, I was almost in tears. God, what has made us so special that you've given us these generals to speak to us? This evening, as I was reflecting on the service and all that God has been saying to us, I saw a picture. I saw a bowl. I saw a cup. And the Lord said, "Do you know what I'm doing?" I said, "I'm not absolutely sure." All these services that I've called you to have, He said, it's like this pitcher with water pouring into this cup. And it's going from one level to the other, to the other, to the other, to the other. And it's about to overflow. God is bringing us to the place of the overflow. You and I may have been beaten down and kept in the place of limitation, but He's saying, I have the final word. I don't know what you've been going through. I don't know how the enemy has harassed you. What lies he's been excavating and bringing to the surface. But this is the truth. It doesn't matter. God has the final say. The devil is a liar, and his lies are not going to work on you. You're son of the Most High God. Hallelujah. Tonight, we heard the man of God. He called us to the place of sacrifice. And as he was speaking, the Lord said to me, "That means you too. I need some accounts cleaned up." I said, "God, what am I going to do?" "Do you believe my word?" "Yes." "Then trust me." And I have no other one to trust but God. Who else am I going to trust but Him? Two Sundays ago, I I came to you and I said, we have a $100,000 assignment. These speakers, I never tell them anything about, you know, take an offering, you know, they're on Zoom. No, but God spoke. And I remember him saying something about $100,000. What's $100,000? What is that? Nothing. What is 10,000? What is 5,000? Nothing. Not at the place of sacrifice. And I will place on the altar of the Lord my sacrifice. And I pray that every one of us will make a sacrifice. And as we do so, we are doing it as unto the Lord. Amen. God will show up and show off in you and with you, in me and with me, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Let God speak to you about what he wants from you. What is a sacrifice for me may not be for you. God has what he wants to do. And he's going to do it. I must not miss this. Hallelujah. I must not miss it. I must be part of what God is doing. I am going to be a son. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are you going to be a son? As many as believed him, to them he gave power, the authority to be sons. And sons have a voice. Sons have an inheritance. Glory be to God. Rise with me. All over this building, rise. Those of you who are at home, rise. Rise as sons. Take your rightful place. Father, 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 we receive by the authority of your everlasting word the rights of sonship. Let all creation not wait any longer. For we, by thy eternal grace, and now manifestations of sons, take our rightful place as heirs, and not just heirs, joint heirs, and the rights of our sovereign Lord and Savior, Yeshua HaMashiach, our risen Lord. We receive that we may represent you righteously in the earth, so that thy will be done in the earth as it is in heaven. Satan, the Lord God Almighty, rebukes you. We affirm by the word of command, by the authority granted to us, that your power is stripped off of you and your demonic activities are rendered useless. For we take possession of the land and declare, O Most High God, thy kingdom has come. Thy will is done in the earth as it is in heaven. For you, O God, art our heavenly Father. Hallowed be thy name. Amen and amen. I speak the blessing of God over you, over your seed sown. Every seed that's going to be sown this weekend. Oh, may the God of heaven water it. May the earth yield its increase. Anything in the earth that's holding back the harvest, this day you are commanded to release it. Release it. Release the increase. Earth, release the increase now. For the curse is broken and the blessing is released. Thank you, Father, for the grace to give and for the abundance that is bestowed. Blessed be your holy name. Blessed be your holy name. Blessed be your holy name, Heavenly Father. In Yeshua's name, we decree it so done. And all of God's people together in agreement said, yes and amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. It's 2020, and God is giving to us perfect vision to step into His fullness. Hallelujah. Please come if you've not honored God already. And even if you've given and it was not sacrificial, and you want to honor God with a sacrificial offering, respond right this very moment and honor God. I'm going to call on Mama to come. We're going to have our time of communion. The pronouncement of God's word has gone forth. And your healing, your deliverance, your prosperity is commanded even now to be made manifest. Anything that will stand in the way of what God has for you will be run over. Hallelujah. It will be bulldozed in the mighty name of Jesus. It will be crushed by the authority of the Word of God. Oh, the Lord says, anyone that falls on this rock shall be broken. But whoever this rock falls on shall be crushed. One way or the other. One way or the other. Surely goodness and mercy shall rest upon my life. But that devil that thinks that he can stand in the way of the blessing of God in my life will either be broken or crushed. One way or the other. But the blessing is mine. Hallelujah. I say the blessing is mine. Do you receive it? Then shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Go ask Mama to lead us in the taking of the body. And I'll do the cup.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
We thank God for Bishop Charles Oluwojoba. We thank God for his life. We're both at his church I'm not sure if it's 2018. So praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Have a beautiful congregation, beautiful church, and the protocol people were just so wonderful to us.
Yes.
We thank God. And we just had a great time after ministration, testimonies upon testimonies. A lot of encounters he's had were similar to ours.
Yes.
So we just, God just did the connection. Were you blessed tonight with the word?
Oh, my Lord.
Praise the Lord.
I had heard the message when it was first recorded.
Yes.
And I was listening again today. I'm saying,
yes.
Oh, my God.
Yes.
Praise. Oh, this, you know, when you're a teacher and you're hearing another teacher teach the word of God, I wanted to run all over this place.
Yes, he is a teacher, so praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
You know, you can preach and you can teach.
Wow.
And we are called to do both, and then heal and deliver. But, you know, you need the teaching of the word. When you get it, you got it for life.
Amen.
Amen. So I pray that the understanding of sons is deep inside your spirit.
Yes.
You're no longer questioning that. Somebody say, I am a son of God.
A son of God.
You know, Jesus is our elder brother. So you are one family.
Yes.
It's not you're going to be his family. You are his family.
Amen.
You have a place at the table.
Abba.
You have your spot. Hallelujah.
Glory.
Someone say, I have my spot.
I have my spot.
Nobody's going to take your place.
Yes.
Every one of us, we are sons.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So today, you've been moved from just a regular believer, a mere man, to a son. Son of the Most High God.
Yes, that's
you know, a son that is born in a royal family is called a prince.
Mm.
You cannot say he's not a prince. It doesn't matter whether you believe it or not. He is a prince.
Amen.
From the day he's born.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And he's a future king.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
You are a king.
Amen.
Because Jesus has made us king of kings.
Yes.
So he's only king of kings.
Mm.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
As kings tonight, you're going to, as sons and kings. Somebody say, I'm a son.
I'm a son.
Somebody say, I'm a king.
I'm a king.
Well, women, you're also king. That's what the Bible says. Even though you're queen, in the natural gender, we say queen. But in kingdom gender, you are kings.
Amen.
Somebody shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
In natural gender, we say what? We do the she and him and all of that. But in God's gender, you are a he.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
You are a son.
Yes.
You are a son.
Glory be
to God. It's the spiritual that override the natural.
Amen.
Somebody say, I know who I am.
I know who I am.
You must know who you are in these last days. You must know who you are on a daily basis. So as you are going to take this communion, you are taking it. Jesus says, I will not eat this with you again, but I want to do it in remembrance of me. But we're going to do this together again in the marriage supper of the Lamb.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Glory.
So when you take this today, you are taking his body. His flesh has become your flesh. Adam told Eve, he said, when God brought Eve to Adam, say, now this is the bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh. That's the first Adam. Jesus says, when you take this, you have become my flesh.
Mm.
We have become joint heirs. Mm. Somebody shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. So take of this now and be refreshed. Sickness, disease, pain, sorrow, lack, shame, fear, any type of thing, death, cannot dwell in you. Take and eat.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Father, we bless your holy name. You have removed from us all limitations. By your grace, you've declared us not of this world. And if we are not of this world, then we must be of the kingdom.
Yes.
And you've graced us with the ability to rest in this earth realm as your representatives, as your ambassadors, as sons of the Most High God. We take off this cup of covenant. We, O God, come into agreement with that covenant by sacrifice. First and foremost, by the sacrifice that you made. And secondly, by the sacrifice that we make in you. We take off this cup, we drink, and as we drink, we declare total transformation.
Amen.
In every area of our lives.
Yes.
The transformation that declares and shows forth your glory.
Yes.
As you stood upon the mountain, you were transformed, transfigured. So now let it be unto us.
Yes.
As it was with you. And according to thy word, transfigured, transformed, because of the blood.
Yes.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Take off this cup and drink. Be healed.
Amen.
Be made every whit whole.
Yes.
Prosper and be in health. And be the bona fide manifestation as a son of the Most High God.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Amen. We are thankful for this wonderful time that we have in God. And once again, this is the Lifting Up Conference, being raised up to a higher ground. May the hand of God rest upon you.
Amen.
And do not forget that we have an assignment that we want to have completed. I want, by the time October ends, or at the very latest, early November, that this whole place will be so transformed that there will be a big screen that covers the space that you see empty right there. This stage enlarged all the way to the front. All of the carpeting in this sanctuary changed.
Amen.
And it's going to take sacrifice. This is our stepping out in sacrificial giving. And may the Lord help you do that. And may He reward you mightily for doing so. Be blessed and be highly favored of the Lord. Good night. Shalom.
Bless you.
Bless you.
Bless you.
Amen. We'll see you tomorrow evening, pronto, at 6:30. That's when the service starts. Let us say hello to those that are online.